Give me, send me some energy. Send me some cool vibes. You know what, guys? I was, during the song, No Longer Slaves, I was thinking and praying that song in my head. And I walked up to my wife and I said, we are living our purpose. The reason why we're here on this earth, we're doing it. And it was like an amazing moment for me. And I'm thankful for every single one of you. That wasn't part of my talk. That was just, how you say, the Holy Spirit speaking to me. Welcome to East Lake Church Playas. Right. Come on, guys. I'm so excited to be here today. I've been, not speaking for, 2 weeks? Me castigaron. Because I sometimes take too long. No, I'm joking. We get the 30 minutes and then sometimes 40 minutes. And I, come on, bro. You know, people are going to fall asleep. Am I putting you guys to sleep? No. No. You guys want me to go for an hour, 2 hours, right? Yeah. Quiet on. So you're going to get 2 hours. I'm so looking forward to what God is going to do through this series. I'm excited. Secrets. Secrets. Hopefully none of us are thinking, oh, they're going to be talking about my secrets. I'm out of here. See ya. Wouldn't want to be ya. Right? Pastor Fito's probably going to call some people up on stage and going to ask us to share our secrets. I am. So I'm looking for people. I'm joking. Everybody already knows. Everybody knows all your stuff. Everybody already knows what you did last summer. Everybody already knows what you did in Vegas. And you were thinking, hey, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. And you're like, no, it doesn't. You bring it with you. It's your baggage. Uh-huh. Right? So let me start with a story. One of my stories, construction story. I used to work construction. And for those who didn't know, I wasn't always a drug dealer. it's a little silly story, right? It was my first job. First official job, because working for your dad doesn't count. You know what I'm saying? You know, you're working for your dad for almost nothing doesn't count, right? Because he's also not going to use the words from you-know-who, you're fired, right? I don't think your parents are going to fire us, right? Well, not me, right? So here I am, this disgruntled teenager, you know, complaining about my dad and how much he was paying me. And I was like, hey, I'm going to prove to my dad that I deserve more. Can I get a little more, right? So I was out to prove to my dad that, hey, come on, give me some more money. Don't give me the $20 a week. You know, that's slave labor. That's not cool. So I was out to prove to my dad that, hey, he should be paying more. So here I go, this teenager, you know, trying to find a job. I filled out this application, and I made it look very nice. You know, guys know what I'm talking about? You know, the frosting on the cake? You know, the years and 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 years of experience that we write down sometimes, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Or is it just me? I think every single one of us has that secret, right? Right? No? Wow. Wow. So here's what I learned. Don't pretend to be something that you're not. I had no idea what I was doing. No idea. It was my first construction job. My dad was just doing me a favor to get me out of the couch or something, you know what I'm saying? I had no idea what I was doing. So what I started to do is, like, I better find a way to, you know, handle this, you know what I'm saying? So if someone would take out their tape measure, right, and measure something, I would follow them and measure it too, you know? and you know, they grabbed the shovel and they threw dirt that way. It's like, I would do the same thing. I had no idea what they were doing. I was just trying to copy them. I was playing the part. Fake it till you make it. You know the saying? That's what I was trying to do. Had no idea what I was doing. And my boss noticed that too. So my first official job only lasted 4 days. So I blamed that experience for my successful drug dealing career. I'm joking. I was too young for that. So I had to go back with my tail between my legs to my dad and his slave labor. Dad, can you please give me a job? You were right. Instead of the $20, can you just give me $10 a week? You guys know what I'm saying? Anybody have a dad like that, that, you know, trying to teach you to work and not paying you enough? Anybody? Wow. Man. So we all have secrets. I'm 1,000% sure that every single one of us in this room right now has secrets. Every single one of us. Some of those secrets are the ones like the story I just told. They're the silly secrets. That's your first fill-in. Types of secrets. Silly. Silly secrets. These are the secrets that we have, for example, about maybe a present that you received and you gave it to somebody else, right? Anybody guilty of that? Yeah. Come on, people, we're in church. You know, it's time, it's an opportunity to be set free. Come on. Because you don't want to be caught sleeping. You know why? Because when you close your eyes and you go to sleep. You tell me that you love me, right? You tell me that you leave me, and I know that I'm right. I hear the secrets that you keep. Hey, come on, guys. Whose favorite song was that? Don't be caught sleeping, because it's going to come out. It's going to come out. You can be free today. But there's two other kinds of secrets that are much more significant. One of them, the next one, is sinful secrets. These are the secrets that we keep because we've done wrong, or we're in the middle of doing something wrong right now. We're hiding the truth. But we don't know that all that we're doing is that we're planting poison in our lives. We don't know that all that we're doing is that we're planting poison in our marriage, in our relationships. In this series, we're going to be looking at a story that focuses on this kind of secret, because this is where most of us fall. The sinful secrets. This is where we hurt others. This is where we hurt ourselves. This is where our relationship with God gets damaged. But there's one more kind of secret that I want to talk about before we go into our story. And that's this. The secret that is shaming. These aren't the things that you and I caused through our own actions. These are the things that were done to us. And we hide it. Because it causes so much pain to share it. where we were hurt. We were hurt. We were abused. We were the victims of someone else's bad actions. And even though we did nothing wrong, we feel shame about what was done to us. So if you've been the victim of someone else's sinful behavior and you've kept that a secret because of the pain and shame it causes you, let me say this. It was not your fault. It was not your fault. And you don't need to be ashamed. You did nothing wrong. So what I want to say as the pastor of this church is that you are loved. You are welcomed here. And you don't need to be ashamed anymore. In this series, we're going to be looking at a story about a sinful secret, sinful decisions and actions that created big, 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 big problems. It's the famous story of King David. You know, if you guys know the story of David and Goliath, David is that David. But now he's a grown man and he's in charge of a nation. So here it is, 2 Samuel 11, 1 through 5. It should be on your outline and also on the screen. Are you guys ready? Yes. Okay, here we go. In the spring, at the time when kings go off to war, David sent Joab with the king's men and the whole Israelite army. They destroyed the Ammonites and besieged Rabbah. But David remained in Jerusalem. One evening, David got up from his bed and walked around the roof of the palace. From the roof, he saw a woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful. And David sent someone to find out about her. And the man said, "She is Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite." Then David sent messengers to get her. She came to him, and he slept with her. Now she was purifying herself from her monthly uncleanliness. Then she went back home, and the woman conceived and sent word to David, saying, "I am pregnant." Talk about a novela, right? Talk about the Game of Thrones kind of stuff, right? So David has started his slide, and I'm going to give you four things that happen in David's progression, David's slide. Here's the first one. Here's your next villain. David compromised his values. David compromised his values. We're going to read again, 2 Samuel 11:1. It's the same verses. It says, "In the spring, at the time when kings go off to war, David sent Joab out with the king's men and the whole Israelite army. But David remained in Jerusalem." So right there, he wasn't doing what he was supposed to be doing. This was the time in which kings went out to war with their armies. In those days, David couldn't be like, "Hey, you guys go ahead. I'll chill. I'm going to declare war, you know. But you guys go," right? Kind of like what happens now, right? Bombs and declare war. But they're just going to chill. In those days, you couldn't be doing that. He couldn't be like, "Hey, I'm just going to chill. I'm going to order some chicken wings, and I'm going to watch the Chargers beat the Raiders, you know, have a beer," you know what I'm saying? "I'm just going to chill, watch some Netflix, you know, maybe the Luis Miguel series," you know? You couldn't be doing that. You were supposed to be right there in the middle of it. You're supposed to be leading your army into victory. But he was chilling. I mean, hey, I don't mind watching the Chargers beat down the Raiders. You know what I'm saying? I love that. It's amazing. Hey, Charger. This is Charger Nation. What? Yeah, look at all the Raider fans. So David had already started to let his values slip, right? Earlier in scripture, it tells us that he had taken multiple wives and concubines. And I was like, what? How does he do that? I like, my wife is like, hey, dude, like, with one, I have enough. You know what I'm saying? Like to, she likes to talk and she quality time. You know, that's, and I'm like, you know? Man, multiple wives and concubines? Like, damn, dude, you know what I'm saying? How do you do it, brother? Yeah. Jeez. Jeez Louise, right? Multiple wives and concubines wasn't God's plan, and it's not God's plan for you, for us now. No, it's not. No? So he also started to compromise things in his leadership. And that's what we do. That's what all of us do. We start to give in to the little temptations. And then we get used to that. And that's normal, becomes normal. Right? Here's the next progression of David's life. Number two, David gave in to his desire. Once David compromised what he knew was right, it was easy to start compromising on bigger things, on adultery and murder. Because that's what eventually happened. 2 Samuel, it's the same verses. It's the same. I'm just going through them again. 2 Samuel 11:2, it's on the screen and also on your outline. It says, one evening, David got up from his bed and walked around on the roof of the palace. From the roof, he saw a woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful. In other words, in Fito's translation, she was hot. Okay? So when we went to Israel in November, we went to David's palace. It was on a hillside, right? And we were talking about this story that I'm talking about right now. It's like, wow, the roof was like, hey, how are you going to see that? You know what I'm saying? David's palace was on a hillside. And you would walk out of, they're still excavating and all that stuff, trying to find other stuff. So you would walk out, like me being up here, you guys will walk up, and you see the houses down in the bottom. So you'd be able to see the roofs of the other people living in the bottom. So it made sense, right? He's walking out, and he's looking at the bottom, and whoa, you know what I'm saying? That's what happened. Babe, that's what I say to you when I, you know what I'm saying? I've been in situations where I've seen some things. I mean, we just came back from Cancun and, you know, seen some stuff. You know? I've seen some things and or someone and be like, hey, whoa, you know? Like, oh, what? You know what I'm saying? But the first look is something beyond our control. Ladies, do you guys get that? The first look is something beyond our control. Ladies, did you guys get that? Because sometimes you're walking and it's like, you're like, hey, what's up? And then you, bam! Babe, you are awesome. Thank you for understanding what men go through. Right? The first look is beyond our control. The first look is beyond our control. But then the second, and the third and maybe the fourth and the fifth, that's when we get in trouble. Right? I mean, the first one, or maybe, I was going to say, I better not say it. Right? I don't want to give anybody a green light. The first one is beyond our control, but the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth, hey, no. That's where we're going to get in trouble. But let me say this. If you were expecting that by coming to Jesus that those desires were going to go away, I thought that. But I'm never going to have those lustful desires. I'm never going to have those things in my, because I'm a Christian now, right? Well, let me tell you, they're not going to go away. They're not going to go away. You're going to need to fight. You're going to need to fight. But take, I want you to kind of help you, give you some tools, help us. And so we can get some tools. I want you to see these desires like fish hooks, right? And we're a fish, right? And there's some fish hooks with the little juicy worm, the big ones, you know, like, and they look really good. They like a carne asada or a ribeye or something, right? And you might get tempted to chase after those desires, and maybe even be strongly tempted to chase after them. But once you take that little nibble, that hook is going to grab you and we're going to reel you in and take you somewhere you don't want to go. And my advice to you is swim away, Nemo. Guys, I'm talking to myself. I'm not trying to tell you, hey, you got to do this, you're going to know. I'm talking to myself. You know how the famous words of, I'm keeping it real. Right? We need to swim away. We need to run away. They usually start. The problems usually start with little things. Right, let me give you another example. For those of us who've been married for a while and you're living or we're living in the sweatpant zone. You guys know what I'm talking about? What happened to all the sexiness? You know what I mean? When you're dating and like, you know, the lingerie and all that stuff. And like, and now the sweatpants, you know? You know what I'm saying? You like we get home and you put on the sweatpants and then you put on that old t-shirt from Guns N' Roses or I don't know from 1970 or something, right? All with the holes and everything, right? Right? And you get the remote and you like turn on the TV and you're picking your nose and you pass gas and all that stuff. And it's all normal. Right? It's normal. Nothing sexy happening because someone always has a headache. I'm not talking about you, babe. I just hear. But what happens is like when you go to work, right? You go to work and you go out with your friends and you actually take a shower and you dress nice and you smell nice and then you see somebody or someone sees you and it's like a little spark, right? I still got it going on. You know what I'm saying? Wow. You get the phone, you take a selfie, like, you know? No filter, you know. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, you feel good. Still got it, right? Feels good to get that attention. You get excited, and then the thrill of the pursuit. And then bam, you're hooked. Let me say this. If you're in a relationship, if you're married, right? And you feel a little spark with someone that is not your spouse, you need to run the other direction. And I'm not talking just about men. I want to keep it real here. You need to run the other direction. Here's why. Sin always takes you further than you want to go, keeps you longer than you want to stay, and the cost and costs more than you want to pay. Anybody experience that? Look at what it says in Ephesians 4, 22 and 24. It says this, you were taught. And what does that mean? That we're being taught. We're being taught today. Every time you go to church, every time you listen to a sermon, you're being taught. With regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self. To put off the way you used to think. To put off the things that you used to do. To put off. You're being taught. Which is being corrupted by its deceitful what? Desires. And you were taught to be made new in the attitude of your mind. Not to be thinking how you used to think, but be thinking what you're learning from the Bible, what you're learning from church, what you're learning from Jesus. Right? Attitudes of your mind. And put on your new self. Created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Then this happened, right? To David. We'll go back to David's story. The progression of David's slide number 3. David's sacrifice, his integrity. David sacrificed his integrity. David could have realized that this was a bad idea. He could have come to his senses, maybe take a cold shower, you know what I'm saying? Or play some Jenga or some video games or whatever. He could have done that, but he didn't. Instead, 2 Samuel 11, 3 to 4, same verses, David sent someone to find out about her. Hey, find out what her sign is, you know, and what school she go to, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Where does she work? He said, can you send her some roses? The man said, she is Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite. Then David sent a messenger to get her. She came to him, and he slept with her. Wow. You know who Uriah is? He's one of David's faithful soldiers. David understood that this woman was married to a guy that was a faithful and loyal soldier. And he was out in battle. And yet he still slept with her. Sacrifice his integrity. And take a couple seconds. I want to talk about Bathsheba. Right? Some biblical commentators have said that because there was no violence or force, that she has equal blame to what was happening. You know the saying, hey, it takes two to tango, right? But it doesn't say anything about what her attitude or responsibility is in this situation. It doesn't say anything about that. But I think that we're kidding ourselves to think that the power difference between a king and her isn't a factor. So now David has given in to his lust and slept with the wife of a faithful soldier. Look at what it says in Proverbs 19:5. It says, a false witness will not go unpunished, and whoever pours out lies will not go free. Here's the next one. The progression of David's slide. Number four, David was confronted by the consequences. Second Samuel 11:5. The woman conceived sent word to David saying, I am pregnant. Whoa. How exactly is she going to explain that? Remember, her husband is off to war. David has now used his power to have his way with a married woman. Look at what it says in Numbers 32:23. It says, but if you don't do what you say, you will be sinning against God, and you can be sure that your sin will track you down. Whew. The biggest lie that secrecy tells us is that we can control the truth. Hey, I got it down. I got it all under control. You know what I'm saying? We start believing that we could dig a hole and we can bury all of our secrets in that hole, and that nobody's going to be able to know what I did or what was happening or what I'm doing. But what happens is that those secrets act or start to grow like seeds in the ground, right? They start to grow, and all of a sudden they pop up and they start shouting, hey, I know what you did last summer. Happens, right? When you least expect it. Bam! I know what you did last night. I know what you did in Vegas. I know what you're doing now. It's gonna pop up. Right? And the longer you wait for that secret, the worse it gets. Because then what happens? Why did you keep that lie from me for that long? What else are you lying about? I've had many of those conversations. Not lately. Back in the day. Me and you are good, huh, baby? I need to tell you, because I don't want to, when I'm sleeping, I don't want to be caught sleeping, you know what I'm saying? I know what you did last summer. They pop up. And most of the time is when things are happening, things are going good, right? You think you're good. Hey, what's up? Let's go on a date, you know? You know, me and you to the movies and, you know, buy in. Oh, wine and all that. Dancing and salsa and all that stuff. And then, bam, it comes out. What? And this whole time that we're having a good time is a big lie because of that secret. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Christ our Lord. The scripture tells us that the payment for sin is death, but that's not where it ends. There's hope, there is a solution, and there's a gift of forgiveness. Here's your next fill-in. The antidote to secrecy is to walk in the truth. In verse 8:31, John 8:31 says, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. What sets you free? And that truth is Jesus. In a moment, I'm going to invite you, I want every single one of us to pray, to invite Jesus to be the truth in our lives, to be the head of our lives, to be the one we commit our life to. And if you're someone that has been walking or had been walking with Jesus in the past, but you feel like you've drifted and now you have this mountain of secrets, I want to invite you to pray to recommit yourself to following Jesus today. I also want to give you a first step, a learning to crawl step, which can help us with this process. The first step, the learning to crawl, is to confess our secrets to God. You don't have to open up to everybody and share it from across the way. Hey, babe, you know what I did? Hey, I did this and I did that. And then the whole world announcing it and putting it on Facebook. Hey, you know what I did? Sorry, babe. No. Start with God. And eventually, there's the next step. We're learning to crawl today, confessing it to God. So with everybody's head bowed, eyes closed, everybody please repeat after me. Jesus, today I come before you with all my hurts, with all my secrets and all my sins. I invite you to be the Lord of my life. I ask you to forgive my sins. I give it all to you right here, right now. In your name we pray. Amen. I want to take a moment. I know you guys noticed the wristbands. Cool little wristbands. Can you grab them? I want you guys to join us in this series. Can the worship team please come back up, please? On the wristband, you'll see the letters L-O-W-O, which stands for Lights On, Windows Open. That's actually a core value of our church, and it means to be that we're gonna be honest, that we're not gonna be in the dark, that we're not gonna hide. And when we put this wristband on, what you're saying is, I want to be on this journey. It doesn't mean that you figure it all out, but it does mean that you're committed to the goal of living in truth. I want to say this. Living in truth is not easy. The truth will set you free, but first it will make you miserable. There's a process that, you know, sometimes the shock of the secret, especially with their spouse. But miserable truth leads to freedom. Miserable truth leads to freedom. On our final weekend, which is in 14 days, we're gonna invite you to cut it off. So we're gonna wear them for 2 weeks. A little reminder that we want to live in the truth. This could be the time that you could move forward with talking to the people that, you know, your secret is affecting. You might be wondering, how am I going to explain this to my friends? Well, you can explain that there's a thing that your church is doing that we're committing to live in honesty, to be honest. Maybe you could even say, hey, I checked in into the hospital. And you're in the process of healing. So go ahead and put those on. And then you can cut off the piece at home or in a moment, the band's going to lead us in a song. I want you to make this song your prayer. Because our identity is not our secret or our past. We are not what was done to us or what we did. Our identity is who Jesus says we are. And we are children of God.